It is back-to-work day for many of us, but a unique kind of back-to-work day for the members of the Oregon legislature. It's supposed to be finished with its work and out of the state capitol in 5 days, and there are still a number of big things left to do. Let's get the update on what's happened already and what's still on the agenda with two state legislators from Southern Oregon. Both are freshmen in their very first legislative sessions. Senator Alan DeBoer is a Republican from Ashland. Senator DeBoer, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey.
And Representative Pam Marsh is a Democrat, also from Ashland. Pam, thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
So let's get to the big stuff. I mean, the state budget is not quite finished. Is that right, Senator DeBoer?
I think it's pretty much finished, unless we have some surprises. We actually worked Monday and Tuesday, and the House took the
Tuesday off,
so... I've been in Salem, and I think it's the first time I missed the 4th of July in Ashland in my entire life.
Wow, that could be, yeah.
A little disappointing, but we've got, I don't know, there's 70 or 80 bills maybe still that have to be done and processed. But I think everything's pretty much done up here unless we get a surprise from somebody.
All right, one thing that didn't happen, though, when you were on the committee looking for, the joint committee looking for new revenue for the Oregon state operations, what happened there? Because it looks like we're not going to get anything to vote on this time around.
Well, it was one of my big goals. I wrote a package back in April that basically increased the corporate tax by 1.4% and then increased the personal tax slightly. If you're under $250,000 joint return, you wouldn't have paid the dime. It raised about $600 million. And that wasn't enough. People kind of discounted it. Worked on the gross receipts tax, which really doesn't work. There's only 5 states that have it. And I think somebody with history might say that Oregon had it back in the late 20s and changed to the current model that we have. But it's really disappointing to me. We did balance the budget with no new taxes. It's, you know, I'm just amazed that, you know, the way the process worked, and it was last Friday, I think I had 3 different people approach me and say, okay, let's do your plan, but it was just too late. Mm-hmm. I mean, these things have to be done, and then trying to cram everything in the last few minutes, you wouldn't believe the flurry for, like, the transportation package, which hasn't passed yet. I do think it will pass. I think it's $5 billion over the next 8 years. Very complicated. To me, it was just easy to increase the gas tax 14 cents. And I'm always going for a simple solution, which makes it easier to pass, makes it easier to talk about, and take little small bites at the apple and get out of here. And I can't understand why we'd be here now, but it looks like we'll be out of here possibly Friday or Saturday. We're waiting for the House to do their job this morning, so our floor is until 1 because they have to pass a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm certainly Pam can talk about that. So
that's where I was heading next, Pam. So you actually got the 2 days off in the House. Tina Kotek gave you off, I guess, from Friday until today. So you had some time off, and you did get to come to Ashland, I guess, for the 4th of July celebration.
I did. I got to march in the parade, which mm-hmm. is always so much fun.
So give me your perspective then on where things stand, particularly with things like budgets and revenue.
Well, you know, it's a little bit too soon to look back on the session, but when I'm looking at the list of work we have yet to accomplish and sort of look back at things that it appears we will not be able to take on, I think it begins to sort itself out into some categories. We were not successful on the revenue front. There are many of us who believe that we need to really look at our basic taxing infrastructure, because the income tax and reliance upon the corporate income tax is not a strategy that works on the long term. We're seeing the corporate income tax flatline over time, and we also know that reliance on the income tax in general doesn't give us the kind of stability that we really need to ride the state. So we're going to have to come back to that at some point, and we will. I think there in the arenas of justice and social change that we've been pretty successful and have some major steps to take in the next few days to continue that work. In terms of health care, we passed a provider tax, which will keep our Medicaid Oregon health plan, as we call it here in the state of Oregon, stable, despite at least for a little while, and unless we get another big hit from the federal government. That's a major accomplishment. We are continuing to work on a piece of legislation addressing reproductive equity that was passed on the House side, and I think that Alan has it up on the floor today. That would do a few different things. It would ensure that insurance plans cover birth control options without a deductible or copay. It would also provide an allocation to cover women regardless of their citizenship status for reproductive rights. And it would make sure that those services are also available regardless of gender identity. So that's a major step forward. We have also just about taken the steps to pass Cover All Kids, which provides health care to all children regardless of citizenship status. I think we've learned it's much better for a child to get all their inoculations than to show up in kindergarten with chickenpox. So these are major steps forward. We are going to be looking at some bills addressing profiling, making sure that we put together a state database that really records what's happening in our interactions between law enforcement and individuals, and that's supported by law enforcement. Really great step forward. We're going to look at justice reinvestment, which will take steps to hopefully keep us from opening another women's prison and really invest money at the community level for people, offenders who have largely addiction issues and who can be dealt with at the local level. And we're going to look at a transportation package, which has some really important pieces in it for our community, including some investments in infrastructure and support for public transit. So there are some arenas, I think, in which we made a lot of steps forward, some arenas in which I'm disappointed with our lack of progress. The environment is another area which I think we have not done what we needed to do. And maybe that's the nature of a legislative session. Since we're both new, we're figuring that out.
Right. But freshman legislators both, Representative Pam Marsh, a Democrat from Ashland, Senator Alan DeBoer, Republican from Ashland, joining us by phone from the state capitol in Salem. You can join the conversation on the exchange about issues going on before the legislature that have and have not come up either yet or ever. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Senator DeBoer, my mind is still stuck on the fact that on June 30th, you said Friday, people were still asking about, hey, let's do this revenue thing. It was the last day of the fiscal year.
I'm shocked. I mean, the biggest disappointment, I'll say, for everybody is the biggest problem Oregon has is the PERS, the retirement system for state employees and school teachers. I think Illinois is getting ready to file bankruptcy over the same thing. And we didn't do anything with PERS for the second time. Every session, we don't deal with it. We're $22 billion underfunded, and we don't do anything. My package had dedicating the whole $600 million so we started whittling away at that big $22 billion amount. There was a small cost containment package that changed how we do PERS slightly. It was written by the union and various individuals. Everybody seemed accepted, and it's the same thing. We're not going to deal with that unless we have revenue. Well, hell, I'm there. I'm there on revenue, and we had the package. It wasn't enough. So we didn't do anything on PERS at all. And mark my word that every year we don't do something with PERS, the problem becomes bigger. And we promised our employees retirement. Now, it's a goofy system. It was miswritten, but that's really not the employees' fault. But we need to pull together a group that is the unions and some fiscal people to see what we can do to fix it. It can't just sit there and gaining. I would say that within 8 years, we aren't going to talk about an increase in education. We're going to talk about decrease in the current budget, which would be disastrous. I mean, our teachers are
because probably a greater percentage of the budget going to PERS you see over time.
Oh, God, it's jumping. We're not even billing the full amount right now. We've done what we call collared it. Mm-hmm. So we're billing a partial, so the deficit's growing. Now there might be some great things in the investment income. We actually got 7.19% return last year, which I thought was amazing from the state treasurer's office.
But you're promising the PERS recipient 7.5%, aren't you?
Yeah, and we still have the $22 billion, so we slide a little bit behind. And I just think people's toes are going to be hurt from kicking that can down the road and ignoring the big problems. And I'd like to form a group, maybe a silent group, kind of what we did with the gross receipts tax, and bring in union and bring all the parties to the table and figure out a 10-year solution for education. I was really pleased that we did pass $8.2 billion. which is 11% increase, mm-hmm. and actually a 24% increase in education over the last two bienniums. But we haven't dealt with the big problem. Almost 40% of our teachers that are in the first 4 years drop out of education. And after they spend 5 years, and it's such a great profession, I'm just surprised people don't do exit interviews, which I've been doing with teachers for the last probably 8 years. And so class size is the big problem. And we can't seem, everything we do doesn't seem to do anything for class size. So we need to fix that problem. And probably the best driver for any state is having a great education system. That includes community colleges. It includes higher ed. People with, you know, the whole thing's about jobs and not government jobs. It's about private business coming in, creating wealth, paying people decent wages. And that's what pays for the schools and the government and everything else. But a good education system will draw those individuals that want to come to our state. We already have, you know, probably the best environment. The state is an unbelievable place, and I think we're all fiercely proud to be in Oregon. I also don't understand the revenue. The revenue in our state's pretty consistent. I've gone back 18 years. There was two periods where there was a downturn. It rebounded quickly. You know, I wrote a bill to pass the kicker, and it didn't go anywhere. But quite truthfully, the bill can't go to the voters until we increase corporate income tax. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be unfair to tell people, and we're going to have $404 million kicker going back. I was one of the ones that led the charge to give up the corporate kicker, 10 years ago, which is going to give us a bunch of money again this year because corporate Oregon almost unanimously said, let's give up our kicker, throw it into a rainy day fund. And you know, it came to the vote of the people. There was no opposition to it. The kicker to me makes no sense. The top 40% of wage earners get 83% of the kicker. So just think about that for a few minutes.
Yeah, it's a bit of an imbalance. Senator Alan DeBoer is with us on the line from Salem. He's a Republican in his first session at the state legislature. Representative Pam Marsh, a Democrat, also from Ashland, in her first session as well. You can join the conversation about the legislature as we head on to the final days. 800-838-3760 to join by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Pam Marsh, we mentioned the transportation package a couple of times in passing. There was, I mean, we're talking lots of things for lots of modes of transportation being discussed mm-hmm. through this session. Still hasn't happened, and we're talking here on July 5th. So does it look like something is going to happen to you?
I think it does. There's been a lot of negotiation. The larger package came out probably about 3 weeks ago. It has been whittled down. It's a more condensed version. However, and the frankly, the losers in the condensed version is the metro area in Portland. There are some big congestion projects up here that are going to have a harder time moving forward. And actually, that has impacts across the state because when the Joint Transportation Commission that was charged with putting together this package traveled the state, what they heard is that congestion in the Portland area slows down freight, slows down all kind of movement in other parts of the state. Those congestion projects were in the $400 million range, and we're going to take a slower course toward figuring out how to address them as a result of the whittled-down package. However, the package still draws on a variety of sources, including an increase in fuels tax, increase in car registration and title fees, an excise tax on the purchase of new cars, a bicycle, highly controversial bicycle fee of $15 on the purchase of a new adult bicycle over 26-inch tire size.
And over $200 in value, isn't it?
And $200 in value, right. So it's very specific. It raises $1 million to go into bike and pedestrian improvements, which I think is quite fair. So with all of those funding sources coming in, we will be able to put the money into road maintenance, seismic projects, safe access to school programming, some road safety, some big projects. And then there's a one-tenth of 1 cent payroll tax to be paid by employees that will raise $107 million in public transit monies. And Rogue Valley Transit will get several million of that. which will be a game changer for us. I mean, it'll enable the transit district to really look at its routes and the times in which buses run and the timing of those, the number of routes that we're able to put out there. So that's a major game changer, and the first time that we've ever had a dedicated source of funding for public transit. So that's probably what I'm most excited about. Also,
I should point out a tenth of a percent is a penny for every $10 you make.
Yeah, for a minimum wage person, that calculation is 37 cents a week. There are certainly people who are concerned that this is a regressive impact because it's the same across all income brackets, and the transit districts are charged with the responsibility of looking at how they respond to that through bus pass subsidies or other ways in which they can assist low-income riders. But we need money for transit, and this seems like the best and, frankly, the only really good option that's come forward. So that's a winner, I think.
I want to come back to
the package. Go ahead. We'll go forward in the next couple of days.
The next couple of days, okay. I want to come back to Senator DeBoer. You have not had have you already passed the Medicaid, the health care provider tax to provide funding for Medicaid in the Senate yet?
I believe we have. You know, we're doing 25 bills a day, including yesterday and the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So I put extensive notes. I read every bill. It's getting a little difficult because we're getting them now, maybe an hour before, especially Ways and Means finished up. I believe it was Monday that Ways and Means finished. So we don't expect anything there, but those bills were coming at us really fast. It was really difficult to stay up on them. And every bill has something you can say, oh, that can't be very good. So, you know, I'm basically trying to move the process along. I think the time for work is done. You know, we're on a deadline. I think probably the best thing that we can show people is that we can get out of here on time with a balanced budget.
Mm-hmm.
We have to change to a positive message from government. You watch the states back east that didn't get their budgets done.
New Jersey,
the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Washington is north of us. I think they had three extended emergency sessions.
Yeah, three special sessions.
Get passed.
Mm-hmm.
What a message to send to people. I mean, you send 90 people up here. They're all adults. They're all here for the right reason. But, you know, I'm into keeping it simple. I just want to increase the gas tax, and you know, we get this massive project. And actually, Portland kind of bailed out. They offered to match half of it to start with, and then they said, we don't know if we can meet that. And so a lot of the projects in Portland got lost. And, you know, I add to you that the Port of Portland's basically closed down over a work stoppage some years ago, so the big ships stopped coming. That is thousands of trucks on the road. The locks at Oregon City aren't functioning. That's thousands of trucks on the road. And we passed a bill just, I think, yesterday, studying the locks and see if we can get them back running.
As a freight option?
Barges. Yeah, it's a huge freight option. And it takes trucks off the road, and we can move. I forgot how many trucks it saved a week, but it was just like an incredible amount. And if we can get the rail yards back at the port going, and that, you know, that's the worst thing, that they had a strike issue up there, and you know, a couple of the big ships got locked into the port.
Mm-hmm.
They were there for a number of weeks, and those ships are terribly expensive. And people just won't come back now. So we're trying to figure out both the cleanup of the port and how to get the trucks so that the ships can unload right onto rails.
All right.
It's just so many things.
So yeah, a whole bunch of these. Go ahead, Pam Marsh.
Well, Jeffrey, I was just going to add in the provider tax, I believe, has been signed by the governor. So it's fully in.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And
then, so the question then becomes, Representative Julie Parrish
from
upstate is talking about taking this to at least a petitions in an attempt to get it to the ballot because she says it's unfair. Oddly enough, she has an op-ed in today's Mail Tribune opposite one you had about the discussion about reproductive rights, not on the same subject, obviously. But how unusual, I mean, granted, you're in your first session, but, I mean, what do you think is going to happen over the course of the next few months as this campaign mounts by a legislator to defeat a bit of legislation?
Well, Rep. Parrish has been involved on the political side of things throughout her career. I think it's extremely unfortunate that the provider tax is being attacked in this way because it is our attempt on a state level to really take care of our neighbors, even in light of federal attacks on health care. The really unfortunate thing is that if Rep. Parrish is successful in getting the signatures that she needs to place this on the ballot, then the law is suspended. So that means that people, you know, as many as 400,000 Oregon residents would simply have their health care suspended until this vote takes place, simply by the fact that Rep. Parrish has collected the signatures.
We're so talking Medicaid patients.
Right, which is just unconscionable in my view. The response to that is there is an effort on the House side to say if the provider tax is successfully appealed to the ballot, that that election would happen in January 2018. And the reason for that is to make sure that, number one, we have as limited time as possible between the gathering of the signatures and the election. So if health care is suspended, it's suspended for a very small period of time.
This is not an end run away from the November general ballot?
Not at all, because it normally, without intervention, it wouldn't even go to the November 2018 ballot. So you could have people with no health care for as much as a year or even longer. Also, if we have the if we must have an election, if we have it in January 18, that's right before the short session of the legislature. So should it be successful, we have an opportunity to come together right away and figure out what else we could do.
All right. Obviously, a lot happening in these very final days of the Oregon legislature. I very much appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you so much.
Representative Pam Marsh, Democrat from Ashland, Senator Alan DeBoer, Republican from Ashland. Best of luck in the final days.
One thing I'd like to add is anybody emailing my office, please give me a phone number. I try to call people back, and a lot of times I have a question.
Okay.
It really helps if you include your phone number.
All right. You don't hear that every day. Thanks, Senator DeBoer. Thanks, Representative Marsh. We'll talk to you
Thanks,
again down the road.
Bye.